Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Tuesday, April 1st. I'm about to say April or August the 27th. Then in my mind, it's like, no, it's October the 20th. April the 27th. There, I should practice that before I go on the air. Anyway, it's great to be with you. Hope you're doing well today. Peace in the middle of the storm. That's the topic of today's program. You know, this is one of those topics that came to me. I was praying about what we should discuss here. I looked at the daily mass readings, and what really came to mind was this the story of the apostles on the Sea of Galilee. There's a storm. Jesus is sleeping. They panic. They wake him up. They accuse him of not caring about them. And they also let him know that they are about to die, both of which are wrong conclusions that they drew. But then the important thing is Jesus speaks peace into the midst of the storm. So let's talk about that today, because this is one of those, I think, those problematic Bible passages where sometimes it can sound too simple. You got a storm going on, you pray about it, and sometimes we automatically expect Jesus to get involved and to end the storm. He might, but sometimes he ends the storm internally without getting rid of the external storm. And if that sounds crazy to you, I want to explore it a little bit further, because I really think it's a critical point to come to accept. Otherwise, you're always going to question, okay, am I praying wrong because he didn't physically end the storm? What is going on here? Now, in the story we will look at, he did end the storm. But what about when he doesn't? What about when the storm rages? You might be dealing with something right now, a storm that is not ending. Why not? And how do you move forward? And I'm here to tell you that I fully believe that that's normal, that happens often, and I don't think it's anything we should get panicked about. Because if you're going to get peace, why should it matter? And look, I'm not saying this is an easy message, but hear me out here and see what you think. If you're going to get peace, if Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is going to give you peace, why should it matter if that peace comes to you while the storm is still raging, or if that peace comes to you because the storm ended? I mean, are we after the peace, or are we after a life with no problems? And again, this is one of those things that I struggle with too, and I think it'll make for a good discussion today. We'll let the Holy Spirit lead, and we'll see where it goes. Nonetheless, I hope you're doing well. I got to tell you something that happened before we go to prayer. I just poured myself a glass of water. I'm going to take a sip of it. Had another glass here, and I had this pesky fruit fly. Ever had one of these little fruit flies? He was buzzing around the water. The next thing you know, he looks like he's about to land. Well, he did land on the outside of my cup, and I thought, all right, let me just flick him out of the way, and that's good. We'll just pretend nothing happened. But next thing I know, he's in, and it's water, you know, like, why does he care so much about water? It's not like it's something sweet and he's attracted to it. Next thing you know, he is like down the inside of the glass, and he's really like close to where I'm about to drink from. I said, that's it. I'm getting a new glass. So far, I'm looking at this new glass of water. It's fruit fly free. That is not easy to say. Okay, I'm losing my mind. Why don't we pray before I get myself in further trouble and before you give up on me? So let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, Father, we give you thanks for your constant presence and your power and your love in our lives. Thank you, Father, for creating us, for calling us into a relationship with you. Through Jesus, Father, thank you for adopting us as your children. Father, we're grateful that no matter where we go, you are with us. Even when we forget about you, your presence remains. So now that we're thinking of you, we're going to thank you for your presence in our lives. And Father, we ask that you continue to make your presence known, to watch over us, to protect us, to give us the grace that we need to deal with whatever challenges come our way. Father, we lift up all of our needs. We lift up our family, our friends. We lift up our country, our world. We ask you to have mercy on those who don't know you or maybe who have turned their back on you. We pray that we can be a light shining in the darkness, that the message, the gospel message of your son Jesus can be carried by our words and our actions in the world to those who need to hear it. Father, I ask that you use me this day as your instrument. Use me to deliver the message you would like delivered. And please open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to what you have to say, and then be willing to put it into action. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, thanks for praying with me. Thanks for joining me at the table. My name is Gary Zimek. The name of the show is Following the Truth. We come to you every Monday through Friday for 30 minutes each day in this podcast. I also do a weekly podcast called Gary Zimek Show when I look at the Sunday Mass reading. So if you want to get a copy of that, you can subscribe to that podcast wherever you get this one from. They're both available free of charge, and I really value the fact that you listen to this program. Before I get into the details about the show, I want to thank you for responding to my request for donations yesterday. I didn't get too many, but if you did donate, I'm really grateful that you did. And if you're still considering it, please consider supporting my ministry financially. It would mean a lot. It would enable me to keep going forward in these challenging times, these challenging economic times. But I'm very grateful for your support. It's hard to continually ask for donations so that I can support this ministry, because it is full time. I do this full time, and at the same time, appreciate all that you do for me. You know, I don't ever want to sound grateful, because I want to assure you, I am so grateful. I am so grateful. So if you are a monthly supporter of my ministry, if you have contributed financially, I want you to know how much I appreciate it, and I'm so grateful. And if you haven't and you would like to, I really could use it. You just go to followingthetruth.com, and you can make that donation there. But if you can't, please don't feel guilty. If you can't, I understand that for many individuals, these are tough times. You are always welcome here. There's always a place at the table for you free of charge. I don't ever want to charge for this podcast. I don't ever want to charge for my daily email reflections, and I don't. And through the generosity of those who are able, I'm able to continue to do this. So as long as the Lord sends me generous donors to keep me afloat, I'm going to keep doing what I do. So again, thank you if you've supported me in any way, and through your prayers, through your donations. And if you haven't and you'd like to, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. While you're there, check out my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And also you can pick up a copy of my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good. Followingthetruth.com is the website. All right, so this reflection, when I was trying to decide what I should talk about today, this reflection comes from the new book, Give Up Worry for Good. And it's, I pretty much told the story at the beginning of the show, and I like this for a number of reasons. There's a good chance you're going through a storm right now. And, you know, this is my 10th year in full-time ministry. I never expected to do this. I spent 30 years as a software developer. Had no real relationship with Jesus Christ. I certainly was exposed to people who did know Christ, who did love him, who talked about him. That happened over the years. It was a rarity. To be honest, I didn't know a lot of people who had that relationship with Christ, but I did know some. But I resisted it for a long time. I was hot and cold. I'd have my moments where I would embrace my relationship with Christ. You know, I'd decide, okay, now I'm going to do it. And again, I'd be hot and cold, but the world can be a very tricky place. The world's very tempting. The world's filled with temptations. When Jesus urged Peter, James, and John on the night of his agony in the garden prior to his crucifixion, when he urged them to watch and pray, he was really speaking the truth, because not only is the devil pretty sneaky and pretty good at what he does, the world itself is very tempting. It's very tempting for us, and for some of us, like me in particular. I tend to be the type of person who can slip into autopilot mode very easily. And I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit working in me, because the Holy Spirit, through his gift of fortitude and the gift of fortitude especially, patience, I'm trying to think. there's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Self-control is one of them too. That's one of the fruits that really comes into play when you invoke the power of the Holy Spirit. And faithfulness, that's one I couldn't think of. Faithfulness and self-control. So when you let the Holy Spirit work in you, even somebody like me who tends to be lukewarm, who tends to lapse into autopilot mode, who tends, if he's not careful, to go through the motions and take the easy way out, the Holy Spirit can help me, and the Holy Spirit does help me, to be consistent and to be faithful to God and to not give up on him, you know, even though I have that tendency sometimes. So I tell you that to just give you an idea of who I am and the struggles that I've had over the years. So I've been lukewarm for more years than I have been on fire, and really loved the Lord and tried to follow him and please him. More years of lukewarmness. So I really understand what that means. As I enter my 10th year of full-time ministry, I'm in it now, haven't quite completed 10 years of full-time ministry, it's becoming clearer to me what I'm supposed to talk about, who I'm supposed to address. And what's becoming clear, you know, initially the Holy Spirit led me into this ministry and I didn't really know what my focus should be, but now it's clear. I believe that the Lord is using me to give hope to the hopeless, or to encourage the discouraged. And if that's you right now, you came to the right place. So as a result, you're going to hear a lot of my messages are centered around the fact that the Lord is here for you. He loves you. He can handle whatever it is you're facing. Because I know that oftentimes through the emails I get, through the people I meet who read my books, who have heard me speak, it's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to become hopeless because your problems weigh you down so much that you don't see any way out. Jesus Christ is that way out. He rose from the dead. He is alive. He is with us. And he is prepared to give us whatever we need to deal with whatever situation we're in. That's why I'm here. That's why I speak so much about worry. That's why I speak so much about going through the storm, becoming discouraged, looking at the future with fear, because I have that tendency. But through Christ, I now have hope. But that doesn't mean I don't have that tendency to start playing that what-if game and to get discouraged. I have a tendency to do that. Some people don't. So with the Lord's help, I've learned to control it. That doesn't mean I don't slip. I do. But I'm here to tell you that there is always hope. So that's why I use so many of I choose so many of the messages that I do to let you know that Christ is real. He's your friend. He loves you with an unconditional love, and he wants to walk with you every day. And the danger of delivering the message that I deliver is that some can look at it and say, well, that sounds really good, but it's just a bunch of fluff. It's one big platitude. And that really hurts me when I hear that. And the reason it hurts me is because anybody that feels that way is really underestimating the value of a personal relationship with Christ. I'll tell you what, I know what it's like to go to church every week, to know what the Catholic Church teaches, and to still be hopeless. I know what that's like. And somewhere along the line, I realized that that's not good enough. And I'm not going to settle for that. And I'm glad I made that realization and I came to that conclusion. And I believe the Holy Spirit guided me to come to that conclusion. You know why? Because it's not good enough. And that's why Jesus came to earth. And that's why he died on the cross. And that's why he rose from the dead. Because he wants to lift us from those oppressive burdens. He wants to free us from sin, from anxiety, from excessive fear, from hopelessness. And a relationship with Christ, and it literally means that, a relationship. You relate to him, he relates to you. That relationship can deliver us from all of those things. And I know I'm speaking to somebody today who needs to hear this. And I promise you this, until the Lord tells me that it's time to give this up, or until the Lord takes me home to be with him, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, because I know that you need to hear this. It's something I live every day. It's something I've witnessed in my own family. It's something that I've witnessed among my friends. And I still see people, many of whom are in my extended family, who suffer needlessly because they don't know the power of a relationship with Christ. I'm not wasting anybody's time here. I'm not going to come on and give you a bunch of fluff. I'm not going to give you platitudes. I'm going to give you the truth. The unfortunate problem is we've been so jaded, we've allowed ourselves to become so cynical by the message that we hear around us, that we hear something like walking with Jesus is going to bring you peace, or spend time with the Lord, or ask him for help, and you'll get the peace you need. We've heard that. We've heard the opposite message so many times that we begin to believe that it's not possible, or that it's not true, or that it's just a feel-good bunch of fluff. Nope, not true at all. Jesus is the real deal. He rose from the dead. And that's why we make such a big deal of his resurrection. And that's why we celebrate the resurrection for 50 days after Easter Sunday. Because it's life-changing. It's the basis for the whole Christian faith. And that risen Jesus is the reason, he is the reason we can find joy. And we can rejoice, and we can experience joy every moment of every day. Why? Because he is risen and he's with us wherever we are, whatever we're going through. Cancer can't stop him. Job loss can't stop him. Physical or emotional persecution can't stop him. He was in the concentration camps with people who were being held captive. He was with us when we were locked down in quarantine in the pandemic. He's with us. He's with you. And you know what's funny? I had no plans to really talk about this, but I feel the Spirit working through me right now. And I needed to say this because I want to make sure you understand. I'm not just trying to say things to make you feel good. I'm trying to give you the truth. And I want you to believe me. If you are feeling hopeless right now, your feelings are wrong. Feelings aren't facts. Feelings are feelings. You might feel hopeless, but there's hope in Christ. So with that in mind, let's talk about what happened on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus told the apostles, let's get into the boat. And there were different versions of it. We're looking at Mark's version here. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to talk about him speaking peace into the storm. So just to give you a little idea of what's happening, they're in the boat. All of a sudden, a storm takes place. They're in the midst of the storm. Many of these apostles are experienced fishermen. They're freaking out. So that tells you the magnitude of the storm. I'm working on a new book right now. It'll be out next year, where I really go into this in detail. But the Greek word used for this storm, and of course the Gospels are written in Greek originally, the original manuscript. The Greek word indicates this is a megastorm, an earthquake, if you will. That's how bad this was. So these guys are completely panicked. Jesus is in the boat with them, and he's asleep. So they are beside themselves, and they woke him up. And they said, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" Now, this is in Mark's gospel. They make two assumptions there. Number one, that he doesn't care because he's sleeping. Number two, they make the mistake of assuming that they're perishing, that this storm will be fatal. But if they listened to Jesus at the beginning when he told them to get into the boat, he didn't say, "Let's get into the boat. We'll get about halfway and there's going to be a storm. We're going to die." He said, "Let's get into the boat and what? And cross over to the other side." But they missed that part. And I think we miss a lot of what Jesus says to us as well, because we're so overwhelmed with our problems, with the way the world is, and we don't believe, really believe, I mean, that what he's saying is true. So they woke him up with this. Now, you would think that, oh man, this is not going to make Jesus too happy when they're accusing him of not caring and when they're telling him, "Hey, we're going to die." But the funny thing is about Jesus, he gets the job done. And Jesus does not feel the need to say anything excessive or superfluous, right? He gets right to the point. Mark 4:39 says this: "He awoke, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." Jesus spoke peace into the storm. He's waiting to do that in your life. You have to give him a chance. And look, there are times when you're going through it. My wife went through, I shared this with you, one heck of a year when it came to anxiety. This COVID thing really did a number on her. Thanks be to God, she's much better. The Lord really healed her. But it was very tough going through this for her. And it was not easy at all. The thing is, I lost the point that I was about to make, that when Jesus enters into your storm, when you invite him in, I should say, you know, because he'll keep sleeping. And sometimes we can't figure that out. Well, why is it that he just doesn't fix things? Why does he make us wake him up? Because he wants us to depend on him. And you know, a lot of us don't like that. But the only way you're going to appreciate the effect that Jesus has on your life is if you get into a bind, if you get into trouble, if you realize you can't solve your problems on your own, you reach out to him and he helps. Otherwise, you wouldn't even think about him. You'd think you're handling everything on your own. That's the way we tend to be as humans. But Jesus woke up. The storm didn't wake him. He was sleeping soundly. Why? Because he knew that it was not that big of a deal. He knew that he was in control of the storm. And sometimes he lets the storm rage in our lives, but he's always in control. The storm didn't wake him. What woke him? What woke him was the cries of his disciples. They were scared to death. They woke him. He woke up. If a mega storm doesn't wake him, he's a sound sleeper, right? But he loves us so much that when we cry out to him, he wakes up. And immediately he had power over the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. The storm was gone. Now, in your life, I don't know how he's going to answer that prayer. "Lord, save me." Now, if you're freaked out, if you're worried, he wants to help you. Ask him. But I can't promise he's going to always remove the storm. But what I can promise is he can give you peace. And he will answer in some way. You can experience his peace even while the waves are crashing around you. And sometimes he lets the waves continue to crash, while at the same time giving you peace. It's not always perfect peace, because sometimes we still struggle, even after we're praying, even after the Lord's giving us grace, gives us grace. Sometimes we still struggle. But I urge you to be persistent and keep asking him. And you will feel more peace when you turn to him and ask him to help you than if you don't turn to him. It's not always perfect peace. Sometimes it's a process, as in the case of my wife. Sometimes it takes a while. But don't give up. He will give you peace. And over time, that relationship with Christ, getting to know him, walking with him, turning to him, eventually will cause you to be more peaceful than you are now. Your fears will even decrease. But you have to be persistent. Keep asking him. Keep crying out to him. And understand something else. I pray for you every day. And that's not going to stop. Peace be still. That's the message Jesus wants to say to the storm in your life. Just give him a chance, okay? Please do that. You shouldn't suffer needlessly. Wake him up. That's what you need to do. Okay, thank you. It was great hanging out with you. I always feel better when we get to spend this time together. Whenever I talk about Jesus and speak honestly and open with you, honestly and openly with you, read from his word, the Bible, I always feel better. If you have questions, if you need anything, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Again, thank you for your donations. If you're able to donate and you haven't done so, you want to help me continue this ministry of reaching out and giving hope to the hopeless, please visit followingthetruth.com and click on donate. You can either become a monthly sponsor or you can make a one-time donation, whatever works for you, okay? If you're up early, Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio tomorrow, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll talk a little bit more about what we just discussed. If not, I'll catch you later on in the day right here on Following the Truth. God willing, I always have to say that. If I'm here and I can do this show, I'll do it. I hope you'll be able to join me. Have yourself a wonderful evening, and I'll talk to you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.